Willkommen zurück. Der nächste Talk wird in Englisch sein. Welcome back, everybody. The next talk will be held in English. Konstantin will tell us something about his new CMS, Fakes, written in Raku and leveraging the Ethereum blockchain. I'm excited to hear some of his insights about developing decentralized applications in Raku.
No, das Blöde ist. Der ja, hallo. Eigentlich wäre jetzt hier der Konstantin Narkow da in einem Live-Vortrag, aber ja, entweder haben wir uns mit den Zeitzonen verpasst oder er hat ein Verbindungsproblem. Mal schauen. Ah, nein. Da kommt er, ich schalte mich raus und wünsche euch viel Spaß. Konstantin, you are live.
Hello guys, do you hear me?
Yes, yes, now we hear you.
Oh, perfect. I'm streaming or still?
Yes, relaxing? You are live, you are live.
Oh, great. Okay, I will start. My name is Konstantin, I'm from Moscow, Russia, and today we'll perform the talk about fake content management system. It was better released on February, and so this talk is related to this event. In the beginning, I would like to say a few words about me. My general interests are related to real-time programming. I mean, the reading, low-level development, stuff like drivers and operating system components. But of course, I have a work and I work remotely as a Perl backend developer and focusing now on online payments and regarding them features. On the other hand, I'm Ethereum enthusiast over 5 years and in and around this blockchain. So I have experience with several decentralized projects, DeFi applications, smart contracts, nodes, and network setup deployment, and some other stuff related to Ethereum. Also, I have been involved in Raku ecosystem. I'm a contributor and maintainer of Net Ethereum, Elsevier, Lunet, Road to Write, and of course, FX content management system. Previously, I taken part in a few workshops and conferences, and hope you remember me. I was at German Perl Raku workshop in 2020. It was a year ago. Okay, that's a little summary, and I will start with my presentation. Okay, let me know if the slides are changing.
Yeah? Yes, yes, works well.
Hope there. So, what is fakes about, and what is the system is fakes? Of course, it's open source, artistic to zero license compliant, Raku driven. Yes, it's completely in Raku, and its basic feature option or its basic facility is that it's storing data on blockchain. Of course, it supports the regular databases. I mean, we can use databases where DBI-ish moduli or flat files. But the basic focus is that we can store any data related to the system into the Ethereum blockchain. This content management system is very lightweight, fast and scalable, I think, but I will talk about all these features a few slides later. I have started work on fakes about 3 years ago. It was 2019. It has begun as a challenge, and my plan was to make a simple Raku. Yes, in 2019, we have no, we have Perl 6, we have no Raku. It was a challenge to make a simple port of Perl 5 CMS. A few years later, I was working with some web development features and created own CMS in Perl 5. Step by step, my road was changing, and finally, I'm happy to announce that it was released, because the road was changed to the from the regular databases to the Ethereum, from the flat files to the regular databases. So the data storing model was changing step by step, and finally, it got the Ethereum blockchain inside it. Modern Fakes CMS is oriented to Web 3.0 project, I mean the new generation of web. The system basics are, of course, it's decentralization, security, and storing the content, as I say, in different storages, regular databases, private and public Ethereum blockchains. Last year, we have a few releases. In the beginning, we have an early Eiffel release. Then we have a private beta release. And this February, we got a public beta release. As a private beta release shown, Fakes had a few general problems. The first of all, it was very slow on content render. And I decided to check out how to improve, how to boost the content render on server side, or maybe on client side, or with another version, I mean, with a final beta release. The few things was considered. First of all, it was migrating from CGI module to model to fast CGI, because on the start, I've working with CGI instances. So as you know, CGI is very slow and maybe outdated technology, but it still works. The basic problems were that every request was handled by a own process, and all initialization or all process creation was from scratch. I mean, if we are creating objects, if we are storing, if we're fetching or retrieving the data, every request will come from the scratch, and we do everything for one more time. Other thing, it was a careful object management, because when you do not share object, when your object are not reusable, you don't think about correct utilization or correct destruction for this object. But if we're migrating to fast CGI, we need to think about how to reuse the object. And these things was inside the first basic suggestions to the beta release. We thought about how to divide the rendering from the server side to the client side. Of course, we need to render the templates. Of course, we need to render something on server side, but we decided to get this process particularly to the browser, to the client side, I mean. And of course, in a beta release, we provided a connection to public Ethereum test networks. I mean, the first releases, I mean, alpha or private beta, was working with local private networks. I mean, we have a repository with the configuration and setup files for users. They can create instances, I mean, nodes of their own networks, and deploy their CMS to maybe local computer or a network of local computers, I mean, local cluster. But it's like laboratory conditions, because there is no any available latencies between the interconnection between the modules, between the nodes, and there is no real life conditions when we are that we are facing in real life. I mean, when our nodes are distributed over internet. As you see, I have a link to the full list of the suggestions that we have for batch release, and if you have time, you can check it out. And then finally, when all the things were discussed and all the decisions were made, we found out the next major breaking changes. Our team has become headless. As you see, there are a few architectures, known architectures, well-known architectures of content management system. It's legacy, decoupled, or headless. And now we're headless. We have API to for requests that the models for responses. We got that implementing engine improvements, As I said, we come from overall server-side rendering to the different rendering. Some things were rendered on server side, but some things on the client side and browser. We done code refactoring. As I say, FastGI requires another approach to object management, and that's why the refactoring was done. And of course, it was integration with public GURL network. There are a few public test network for Ethereum's. For example, Coven network or Rickenby network, but we're working with GURL because it's cross-client network. It supports different Ethereum clients, and it's very handy to test with one client, another client, or whatever. So we integrate into GURL. And the next thing, I think, breaking change, very valuable breaking change that we at last we created the scalability with the external modules. So now there are guidelines how to write the modules, and you can write your own function, you can write your own features, implement your own features, and integrate to existing fixed instance. Also, if you are interested, you can try this link, and there are a full list of issues that was covered by beta release. And that's in the sample roadmap. Many of the things that you see on the site, I have taken, I've also discussed, but I want to say that I plan to release, to make beta release, to announce beta release in the end of the past year, but it take a few more months, and finally it was announced on 19th February. Also, there was a few features that had too much long implementation, a few tricky things that take the time. So the current roadmap and the current dates were slightly go down. Okay, that was an introduction, and now I'd like to say a few words about the beta, about how traditional beta version looks like. I think you know that beta release is published once, and also do it major features have been implemented and released. I suppose several beta versions will make available during the phase. I mean, now we have a public beta, but of course a few features could be re-implemented. Maybe some features will mark as deprecated. So I think maybe there could be a few more better versions, sub better release versions. As with any program, better release now we have an early access to new features and able to test them and to get the feedback from our users. And it's very valuable to the final steps of the development. And I suggest that it's great to be the first to try upcoming features by reporting any bugs or you encounter or while using this beta release. It will actually help to catch bugs and go through some curious and suspect cases with the testing. So that all means that you're likely to try fakes at less stable but closer to final version. And I suppose the new stable versions maybe will be late this year or in the beginning of the next year. The major improvements are related to content rendering. The rendering, as I said, so you can check it out and try to interact with the blockchain, with the public blockchain networks where this release. Okay, and let's go deep inside the current implementation and current release features. As I say, the most improvements were at the rendering stage. And also, as I said, all this have identified at private beta release. So it was, I couldn't say it was bad or there was a few features that have critical bugs or something curious, but of course it was slow. The private beta was slow, and slow. Every request was handled, I think, average in 5 seconds. It's very slow for a web application. Also, we have, as I said, we have support for private local networks, but our users don't want to use to deploy to set up local network. They want to use existing public networks like Gurlitt, Coven, or Rickenby. It was unscalable. We have a few projects in production, and without the scalability, we started implementation from scratch. For example, we have some basic release, and then we try to implement new features for every project. It was really hard. It was a little hard, but it works, and we decided to make it scalable with the add-ons, with the specific guidelines to how to write add-ons and specify the interfaces and specify the things that add-ons should be compatible with. Also, private beta was designed as legacy CMS, and as I said, I think it's some outdated design, and we want to make it headless. The slides are really shown what's the difference between the legacy decoupled and headless CMSs. Maybe you know about this, but the basic feature is that the legacy has a front end and back end in one place. We have no distributed front ends, we have no distributed back ends, all in one distributive. Decoupled, uses back end, but of course the front end also exists, and it should be installed on different server or maybe different network cluster. Of course, it would work on some devices, and some devices and spoke with the interacts with the backend, with the APIs. And the headless have no backend, have no frontend at all. So if we need to work with the same as we need to implement own application of course application or another system layer with the frontend functions. And the general benefit of the headless architecture that we can distribute backends on different machines, on the different servers, and every instance of backend can provide own features. For example, we can divide the presentation and administration layers on different nodes, on different system network nodes, and this will increase overall security and functionality. Now I will spoke a few words about the increasing the performance of templating engine. That was a very interesting work And the introduction is that the Politic Engine basically provides tools for effective metadata interpolation. At the web application runtime, the engine parses and replaces variables with actual content values. As you know, it's a basic feature, the basic option of each TMS. Finally, client browser got an HTML page generated from the template where the all metadata, I mean variable statements, expression has been processed. As you know, if you are in the RACO ecosystem, we have a few modern template engines. For example, template Mojo, template Mustache, template 6, template Classic, template Toolkit, and HTML template modules. Each of these modules have own benefits, and in private beta, we use template Mustache, but because it's included in Racuda SAR bundle distribution and it works out of the box with a well-known template syntax. But it's slow. As time measuring provides data that the information that's the bottleneck of the current TMS interpretation, as you know, I mean, private beta that was released last summer. The bottleneck is a template Mustache because it was rendered page for a few seconds. The overall template was processed for a few seconds. And on this, I've done a humble research where I tried to compare Mustache module, template 6, and HTML template. Also, there were a few tricky techniques, comparison of the few tricky techniques with grammars, regular expressions, and XML trees. There were a few techniques for performance boosting were considering and explained, and the results were published at the RACO Advent Calendar in past December. And to see, the link is on this slide, and you can read whole article and to get the all information about modular comparison, about the techniques that were discussed. But finally, after that research, we update the CMS, and if before the updates we got then the render time for a generic template is about 2 seconds. On the slide, you see the render time was 1 second, 855 milliseconds. But as you see, this time is just a template rendering. But it doesn't include everything related to network latency, duty cycle, templating. I mean, server throttling when we got a few requests and at the same time. One template can be could be postponed, and it will be the overall time will be increased. It's just a clean render time for a template without any parasite latencies. And actually, in real life, it could increase. This time could increase to the, for example, 10 seconds. It's very related to where regards according to your server status and server resources that you have on the servers. And after update, when we improved the template engine, we got this time on the same template, we got it about the 100 times faster. It was great because it's a real and very efficient and effective time for template generation. It's could be compared with a Perl 5 working with a mod Perl on the middle resource available server. It's great. I think it's great for RACO because we don't have anything any boost up, just a code rewrite. So that was great. After this, we decided to move from outdated CGI to fast CGI. Also, a few other technologies was considered. For example, Plaque. For example, we have thought about how to include Rome web server in a fake CMS bundle, but the very easy and the very fast migration was from CGI to fast CGI. And it's not required. It was not required a deep code refactoring or deep code rewriting. It works very quick. But there are a few simple things. There are a few simple but tricky things that we should keep in mind where we are migrating to fast CGI. First of all, when we're working in CGI, as I said, we have all object creation, all object initialization on the each run. In FastCGI, we have a object initialization or creation only on the first run. So, every object should be considered as reusable, and every object, all shared object, all static object that used while the CMS is running, should be created on the first run. Also, all data, all templates, and that whatever should be retrieved or fetched on the first run too, because the fetching from hard drives, fetching from the storages are also slow. And if we keep all the things we need in memory, we'll be increase overall performance. Also, as I said, the objects should be reusable, and also data and objects that we are keeping memory, keeping our shared structures, shared date structure, that structures should be accessible by submodules and add-ons. So some objects should be support the inheritance, some objects should be go through the arguments into some methods. So here is some tricky thing with the code to write, and it was done, and it was not so easy, but after the migration we got the great performance improvements. The next slide, I show you that the first run, you see the table with the results, all the timings, with the timings, as you see the index page, the top row, as you see, was loading while the with the 6 seconds, and other pages with API URLs was loaded about the 1 second. So if you summarize this data, these values, you got a 10 seconds for a average, for approximately average request. And after migrating to FastCGI, we got great results. On the first run, of course, the first run was slow, but other runs, every next run was really, really fast. For example, index page was running, was loading within them 30 milliseconds. And API request was done about twice improving for this, for example, 1 second become 500 milliseconds. And also it's approximately an average value on a very slow, very low resources server. I use core to do to megahertz processor with a 8 gigabytes of RAM. It's a very slow machine, and it's a middle VPS hosting server. So if you got something more resource, or with much more resources, it will be faster. And and other thing, as I said, we have implemented the rendering in the on the browser side. For example, for this process, we use Riot JavaScript components library. It's got the component. I mean, in the terms of the library, the component is the template for rendering, and got the variables that will be render it in this template. So, for example, also we have embedded IP debugger. As you see the link, it's available in production, so you can try your requests. And a simple request with index route. On this request, we got the response with the component and the collection of variables that will be rendered in this component. As you see, it's base 64, but on this slide, here is the hello world phrase encoded, but in real life, it got the HTML encoded. And inside this HTML, we got the positions for variables to render to. You can try, I have on the slide, I have a link to the online IDE where you can try to render your templates with a Riot JavaScript components library. And there is an example where you see how the index content of where we are rendering the content of one of our pages. So it will very handy to debug the things and to understand how we can provide distributed rendering. I mean, rendering on the client side, on the server side. Also, this type of rendering could be done with the modern JavaScript libraries, for example, with the React or with Vue.js or whatever. But the Riot is very simple. It's not simple as a, for example, JavaScript code or understanding how it works, but it's very simple in a comparison with embedded with our RAW ecosystem templating modules. For example, my templates that were previously rendered on the server side with a minimal adaptation were perfectly rendered by IJS. But when I tried, for example, React, they need more things to change, more things to introduce, more things to implement for the proposal that its template will be rendered as it expected on the client side, that it was rendered on server side. Okay, the next feature is how we were integrated testnet, Gerlo testnet to our current version. First of all, a few words about Gerlo testnet. It's a proof of authority cross client, as I say, testnet that syncing parity, Ethereum, get, never mind, related base or JS clients. It's all these programs. It's a specific software that's running on a server and implements Ethereum node. It's I will explain more deeply how Ethereum works. We have a network, we have a nodes and node servers in this network. Every node have a specific software, and this software implements the specific Ethereum thing. It implements RPC IP access, and also on the client, on the client software, Ethereum client software, working Ethereum virtual machine. Ethereum virtual machine is translating, translating the request, RPC request with JSON data to the bytecodes that running exactly on this machine and performing the work of smart contracts or other Ethereum related things. So, for example, Coven or Breaking By test networks are working only with one type of Ethereum clients. For example, Coven, as I remember, working with Parity Ethereum, Breaking By with Get Ethereum, but Gerlo is cross client. We can connect nodes with a different software on them to the network, and the network will work.
To Ну, попозже. We use to work to interact with this network we use in Fourier project. In Fourier project provides for the users the ability to connect to the test networks without own nodes. We don't need to get node, working node on our computer or computer in our networks and access the network with through this node. Ethereum is absolutely free, but they have a few paid plans. The paid plans work on the number of requests. For example, if you have a 100 requests or 1,100 requests, you will pay something. But if your project's not so large, you can use Infura for free. So on the slide, you can see the simple config for fakes where we are supporting Infura EO, and we got the connection to the Infura node to rise or to commit the transactions, Ethereum transactions there. Here we have a port, and in this on the slide after the last slash, we need to add the Infura token. I remove my own token because Infura have their own rules for token publishing. But if you work with it, you can put it here and it will work great. And after this, when you're connecting to the public Gurley network, you can inspect your transactions with the Etherscan service. For example, you can see what transactions your fakes instance, what transactions were your backend instance pushed or committed to the Gurley network. On this slide, I've got a sample screenshot of a few transactions, and in the top row we have transactions where we have a transaction where the content one of block records in fake's official site have a content that's stored on blockchain, and it stores under this transaction. For example, you can see the next slide. Here is the mobile view of this page, some content here, and if we inspect this transaction, if we expect this content in the Ethereum EO, we got the information about the transaction from what address to what address this transaction was committed, what was the transaction fee, what was the gas price, and of course you see we have a input data. All content is stored within these transactions and within this transaction. As you see, yeah, on this text area, we have the data that you was previously see on this slide where the content was rendered. Also, as I said, we introduced add-ons in public beta. Fakes add-on modules are installing as regular Braco modules, and you don't need to have any to do anything else, just to set up your Zeph client and to install modules from a local system. We have no modules in public repository, but you can easily clone the repo module from GitLab and install them via Zeph. Also, as I said, we try to implement the headless architecture, but now Fakes is based on concept. But now, at public beta release, we are on the concept of hybrid CMS. On one hand, it works with legacy CMS with the global templates. Global templates are.
Sorry to interrupt you here. To keep in schedule, can you give us a short conclusion so that we can move to the questions after that? Or how long are you planning to keep?
Oh, I need about 5 minutes. Is it good?
Okay, that's good. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's very close to the end, and I will go very fast on the rest of the slides. Okay. And on the other hand, yeah. Thank you. I will try to finish it as soon as possible. Yeah. And as you see, here's the link for the sample John model. You can understand how it works. You can understand it inner structure and to understand what features are there. I would go through the sample add-on configurations. So we have all we need to, how we configure, how we implementing the modules. First of all, we need to specify the routes for the for this module. We use route-to-write routing engine inside the CMS, and it very flexible for different routes. For example, you see the route for file details. Here's a existed example from productions where I have a digital audio server and have a different routes. For example, we have a route for file details where we have a regular expressions and titles routes. Route write is very well documented, and you can find docs and example best practices are inside the wiki pages. Here's a sample config. If you want to dig deeply into this, you can look what it's like after the presentation. I will ask all the questions. And of course, we need a few additional methods to make your module compliant for the Face CMS. For example, you need create init.json config. It will be retry the whole config for your add-on and keep it in memory. Also, you need provide some getters. For example, get class, get name, get sev, sitemap, get sm. It's used for generate whole sitemap for all content management system. And there is a field so data more method that will provide them ability to get to set the text, I mean specific text, HTML text, that's meta text or title text. Oh, it's very related to the search engine optimization things. And also in this bet release, we added the night skin because, of course, many of you are work to dig websites after midnight, and white skin is very hard to for your eyes, and you want to get something more darker. Okay, that was a quick introduction to the bet release features, and what will next? I will go very fast for the features that will be released in the next release candidate one version. First of all, we would like to migrate from LZV Revolut module to compressed BZ2. I don't say it before, but we have stored compressed data into blockchain, because if we store plain data, it will be nightmare, because the data is very large and text data is very large, and it's great to compress and to store the compression. Also, we'd like to split the distro inside into the fake module and fake deployment stuff. And also, we would like to implement the administration layer that will be connected to existing Ethereum node. Let's see, one really related to Tish's list is under this link, and if you are interested, you could go into it. Also, would like to mention that there are a few projects and productions. We have a digital audio server backend that's driven by Rocco and tells what is custom Perl developed Moon at FOSDEM 2021. There are a few interesting tricks and hacks related to digital audio processing. They have calls from Rocco and a few interested fakes integrations. In general, audio backend handles requests from clients, routes, and then roll them to the audio engine and perform the responses. Thus relies on Juice, Rocco, and Fakes. It's very interesting. And now we are at start with the Fakes.io project. It's on this link, under this link is where his early alpha draft is under this link, and you can read the specification, but in few words, it's a service for handling IP requests from the clients and to store the IP requested data into blockchain. For example, if you want to store something in blockchain and you don't want to work with Infura or some other services, you could directly work with the service and store your logs, store your tamper-proof data, or whatever in the blockchain where the service. So you can check it out. And in the end of this presentation, I would like to invite you all to our development process. Maybe we can get code review from you, forks and merge requests are very welcome. Here's all the links for this projects, for this modules I mentioned in this presentation. First of all, it's a FXMS and other modules that's used in it, for example, NetEthereum and Road to Write. All of them are also, I have also handled all of them, and we'll be very glad if you, any one of you will be in this process too. Also, anything, if you like any ideas, of course, we can donate or we can discuss something if you want, if you have any suggestions or questions on this. And yeah, it was the final slide. Here's the conclusion. And it, of course, I would like to thank you all for attention. Would like to thank our German Pearl and Record Workshop organizers that were accepted my talk and give me the time, give me the a small time for presentation, and hope you like it. So that's all. If you have any questions, I will be very happy to answer them. Yeah.
Thank you, Konstantin, for your talk. Because we are short on time, I would like to reference the chat for further questions, so you can go in the Matrix channel we have for the conference and ask questions there, so that we have a short break now and move on to the next point.
Yeah, thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you, you too.